Jump into Romans chapter number 12. We're looking at striving together in relationships. Romans chapter number 12. Last week we looked at point number 1, and that was possessing the right, what? Does anybody remember? Character. I think I heard somebody say it. Possessing the right character. And we looked at 4 things under number 1, when we have the right character, we will possess 4 things. Who remembers number 1? Sincerity. Sincerity, okay? So we're not faking it. That means what it means to have sincerity. The next one? Purity. Purity, okay? Good. And then? Dependability. Very good. And then the last one? Resiliency. Yep, stick-to-itiveness, if that's such a word. I don't even know if that's a word. But anyway, having the right character. And so the right character leads us into number 2. And number 2 is in verses 13 to 16. And now, because we've developed the right character, out of the right character will come the right behavior. Behavior is number 2. Practicing the right behavior. Right behavior is birthed out of the right character. So, you know, when a child is misbehaving, it always comes back to the character first. You know, when an adult is misbehaving, you can smile a little bit. When an adult is misbehaving, it comes back to the character. We get that character straightened out, not the character himself, but I mean, if our character level is what it ought to be, then the right behavior will come out of that. And I want to just point out, as we look into these behaviors tonight, that it is our responsibility to practice these behaviors, whether they are reciprocated or not. That means whether or not they are given to us. So we're not keeping track in our relationships to see, okay, are you treating me this way? Have you treated me this way this week? Okay, so then I'll be that way to you. That's not what we're after. And so we're going to see 4 behaviors in these verses tonight. Let's look at number 1, or it's letter A in your notes. We should practice generosity. Generosity. Romans 12, 13, the Bible says, distributing to the necessity of saints. Distributing. That means that we are to be on the lookout, be aware of someone and their needs that they might have. That's what part of the responsibility of the local church is. This isn't really even necessarily speaking really of the lost at this point. This is really talking about God's family. Now, that doesn't mean that we don't help the lost people if they have needs too, don't get me wrong. But that's the context of this chapter, is within the family of God. And so it's a challenge that if we see needs among our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ, then we want to ask the Lord, how can I meet that need? You say, well, I've got a lot of needs that need to be met. What are you talking about? Okay. The idea, though, in the Christian life is to get our eyes off of ourselves and look on others. Obviously, look on the Lord first and foremost. But what I'm saying is, when we get our eyes off of self, Luke 6:38 is a biblical principle that we really need to make sure that we believe. Give, and it shall be given unto you. And we can really use that in a lot of different contexts. And in this idea of being generous, I think it is the way too. So think about it. Am I generous with my time? Am I generous with my time? Is there a way that I could be a help to someone by giving them some of my time? Again, I understand we all have busy lives. Okay, but again, what are we supposed to be using our time on? We want to make sure some of our time is used for eternity, not just for now. Because this life is going to end. It's 70, and it may be an extra 10. Maybe another 10 on top of that. Miss Carmen, she's got another 10 on top of that at 90, right? You know? And Brother Gord almost got another 10 on top of that. He's in heaven now. But, you know, it's not a matter of how much can we invest in now, but how much can we invest in eternity? And that can be in a generous way of my time. How about this? How generous am I in my thoughtfulness? In my thoughtfulness. You know what this speaks to me about? Do I ever think about anybody else but me? You know, I'm guilty of that sometimes. That just, you know, a week goes by and all I've really thought about is, man, my life is really complicated and, you know, I've got to get this done and I've got to get this done and I've got to get this done. And before, you know what, I've lived a day or two and I've really never even thought about it. But, you know, I mean, I pray for the church prayer list. I pray for you. But again, and I'm not saying that that's not enough for me, quite frankly. I think we want to ask God, you know, remind us, you know, God, help us to be thinking about others. Thoughtfulness. Do we see a relationship for what we can get out of it or what we can put into it? You know, we've heard that before, right? As a part of the family of God, this behavior of generosity is, okay, how can I invest in this relationship within the local church? Turn to 1 John chapter number 3. 1 John chapter number 3. This issue of generosity is a revealer of how much the love of God is in us or not in us. 1 John 3:17. Then we're going to look at a couple of other passages as well. But whoso hath this world's good, okay, what is that talking about? This world's good, right? Maybe it's money. Maybe it's a vehicle. There's not going to be any cars in heaven, okay? You know, maybe it's a house, shelter. Now, there'll be a mansion, and well, it says, I go to prepare a place for you, right? But it's talking about what we have in this world. Whoso hath this world's good, and seeth his brother have need. So, we come across a need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him. In other words, he sees that someone has a need, and he begins to think, you know what, I need to do, and then he realizes, no, I need this for me, I don't have time for that person, I don't have time for that, and shuts up the bowels of compassion. It's only going to be about me today. I'm not going to do anything. John says, how dwelleth the love of God in him? So generosity is expressed because God's love is in us. And obviously, he's the greatest example of love that there will ever be. Turn back a few pages to James chapter 2. James chapter 2. Look, please, if you will, at verse 14. What doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and have not works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, so that's a family member of God. So there's a need. And one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled. But look at the rest of the verse. Notwithstanding, ye give them not those things which are needful to the body. You know, we know someone has a need, and God's speaking to us, and we know that God is speaking to us, that we need to do something about it, and we just say, you know, peace be unto you. You'll be warm, and you'll have a full belly, and we don't do anything about it. He says, what doth it profit? That's just a bunch of hot air. Hot air doesn't help anybody when they have a need. I'm saying when you know and we know that God is leading us to help someone, okay? I think we understand that we can't meet everyone's needs. But when God lays it on our heart to help encourage someone and be generous to someone, don't push that aside. Because God's going to take that, and I don't even realize how much God is going to. It's not about the blessing that will come back, because it will come back. God has a promise in His Word. But we have no idea what that's going to do to that individual. And you know what? Here's the thing. Let's not be short-sighted. What I mean by that is, we don't know what that generosity is going to help them with. But then, because it encourages them, guess what they're able to do? They're able to encourage somebody else. It just goes on and on and on, and we never know where it stops. Where did I stop reading? If a brother, verse 16, and one of you saying to them, if so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. So it's comparing the fact that we say that we have faith, but there's nothing coming out of it. In the same way, it's saying, just have a good day, peace be upon you, be warmed and filled, and that's all we do. There's nothing that comes out of it. Turn back to Luke chapter 3. Generosity is the first behavior that we're talking about in having a right relationship. Remember what we said early on, we are to practice these behaviors whether or not they are reciprocated to us, meaning whether or not that people are doing these things for us. It's about others. Jesus, others, and you. That's how we have joy. Luke chapter 3, verse number 11. Here we read, He answereth and saith unto them, He that hath two coats, let him impart to him that hath none. And he that hath meat, anybody been to Walmart recently and looked at the meat? It's not there. That's a timely verse, okay? Anyway, let him do likewise. You know, God's blessed us. We are all blessed people. But God hasn't blessed us so that we can have, stockpiles of it in store if we know someone has a need. And God says, hey, you can help with that. And you know the Holy Spirit of God is saying, hey, you can help with that. I'm not saying you have $5,000 to give somebody, but you have some food in the house and you know somebody needs something or whatever it may be. I'm just using that as an example. And again, if we shut up the bowels of compassion, how dwelleth the love of God in us? So generosity is number one. Number two, kind of goes along with that. Back to our text, Romans chapter number 12. We should practice hospitality. Hospitality. Verse number 13 again. Distributing to the necessity of saints. Okay, so again, it's talking about that generosity, as I mentioned, is we're talking about to the saints. That's the saved people. Okay? But then look at the second half of the verse. Given to hospitality. Given to hospitality. Now, the connotation in this term hospitality involves entertaining strangers. Entertaining strangers. Now, we would all, I think, be more comfortable to entertain people that we know, right? I'm not saying invite, a bunch of strangers into your home necessarily, but I don't think that's exactly what the word stranger is referring to. There are certain people that we would gravitate to more naturally. Maybe they're more like us. They're more like our personality. As soon as we haven't seen them for a month, and as soon as we see them, boom, we just pick it up as we left off. I mean, we have a great time talking about this or that. We have a lot of things in common. Those are the people that we normally want to be around the most because, again, there's a lot of things in common. But here the Bible says, it doesn't say anything about giving to hospitality just to people that we're comfortable with or that meet our more about our personality. That's needed. It's needed. Either way, it's needed. But I believe biblical hospitality goes beyond that to leaving our comfort zone. Leaving our comfort zone. Going beyond the people that we know. I know these seven people really good at Anchor Baptist Church, but that's about it. I'm just being a little bit funny about it, but also to think about it. Okay? You know, I have this group of people. No, we want to get to know one another. We want to get to know one another to help one another, meet one another's needs. Turn over to 1 Peter 4. I understand that in the last bit of time, having people in our homes maybe has been a little bit frowned on. It was majorly frowned on for a long time. And yet, let's not use every excuse that is given to us to not be hospitable or generous as we look at these first two things. Look at 1 Peter 4:9. Use hospitality one to another. Notice the last two words. Without grudging. You know what that is, right? You know, oh, I'll take out the garbage. Okay, whatever. That's with grudging. Oh, I guess if we have to be hospitable, we will be. That's with grudging, okay? You know, so without grudging, who have we gone out of our way to get to know? And I'm thankful for the hospitality of people at Anchor Baptist Church, and it's something that we have to work on. Some of us are more loners. I'll just be alone. I've got me, I've got my family, I've got this, you know, I'd rather be alone. And there is a time for that. But there's also a time the Bible says that we're to be hospitable. So generosity, hospitality, number three. Look at verse 15. We actually mentioned this verse in the service this morning. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. What is the third action? What is the third behavior? Empathy. We spent some time praying in the 11 o'clock hour of the service today for the flood victims. Let's continue, by the way, to pray for those folks. I'm sorry I didn't mention it in our prayer time. Let's continue to pray. Many have lost much, as I'm sure everybody here has seen something about it. And you need to pray for our own dear friend, Brother Mark Steberl, out there at the Mountain Road Retreat Ministry. They're fine, but they can't get anywhere by car right now because they have no access to. They're right in the middle of that Coquihalla Bridge that went out. That's greatly affected them. Empathy. The dictionary says that empathy is the ability to understand and share the feelings of someone else. Now, we have to be willing to say that it's difficult to completely understand someone's feelings when we've never been there. Right? But we can still ask God to help us to understand as much as we possibly can what they're going through. But that's what empathy is. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. That is the outline of empathy. I said this earlier. When we operate in the flesh, the lens that we look through is, how will it affect me? We fail to consider the way a particular issue may affect someone else. That's in the flesh. But if we're in the Spirit and we're filled with the Spirit, the blessing of that is that the Holy Spirit of God helps us to see it in a different way. He helps us to see it in a way that we wouldn't have looked at it. Well, have you ever said this? Well, I never thought about that. Well, I never looked at it that way. That's because everybody views things just a little bit different, right, than we do. We don't always see things the same way. But to be empathetic about it. What is someone going through? What is it like? You know, again, we watch news, and I reached out to Brother Mark, and I said, what can I do to help you? I'm not saying I'm the most empathetic person. I'm just saying, when I saw it, and I saw, he sent me a video, and I watched a YouTube video that they made of what was going on, I thought, man, we got to do something. Again, I need to work on that. I'm not saying I'm the expert of being empathetic, but This is a character trait. This is a behavior, that comes out of our character trait. And as we are going in this church, this is what we want to have for one another. How do they feel right now? How do they think right now about the subject, whatever it may be? You know, many, and think about this in our marriages, okay? Think about this in our marriages. Empathy can be the key to unlock the husband or wife's understanding of their mate. Well, I only saw it this way, you know. Well, how does she see it? I'll tell you guys, she sees it differently than you do. And that's great. I don't want my wife to see it like I do. That would be boring. It's exciting when we're seeing it a little bit different and we get to sit down, we get to talk about whatever it may be and come to a decision on whatever it is and love one another in the process. But you know, after 27 years of marriage, and this is something that I'm glad that my wife has been toward me, and I know I need to be more empathetic toward her. Rejoice with them that do rejoice. Empathy not only unlocks understanding, but it unlocks compassion and kindness. 1 Peter 3:8, finally, be all of one mind, having compassion one of another. Love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous. Oh, that's a good word, isn't it? Courteous. We could use a whole lot of that in our homes. And I'm not talking about just in the marriage. I'm talking about in every... We could use a whole lot of that in our business places, right? Be courteous of one another. I wonder what they'll think about those. Be courteous. Empathy, hospitality, generosity. One more. Verse 16. Be ye of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. So the fourth behavior that we want to have in our relationships as we're trying to strive together is humility. Humility. Instead of being impressed with our own intelligence or our own expertise, that's what it means to be not wise in our own conceits. Take the path of humility. We're no better, we're no more important, we're no more significant than anyone else. That's what it means to condescend to men of low estate. We're all in this together, striving together for the faith of the gospel, Philippians 1:27. We're co-laborers together with the Lord. It doesn't matter if we've been saved for two months or 25 years. We're striving together. Be humble. Boy, humility would cure a lot, wouldn't it? You realize that every relationship problem would be solved if it's two people, if they both said, I'm just going to be humble in this relationship. Guess what would happen? All problems would end. You can't have a fight with two humble people. You can't. It's impossible because one of them's going to say, no, okay, you know what, I'm wrong. Next time the other one's going to say, as it starts to get, you know, you just can't fight. It's impossible because both are going to just say, all right. Humility. Jesus served as our great example, didn't he? Philippians chapter 2, verses 7 and 8. But made himself of no reputation. Took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men, verse 7. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, Philippians 2:8, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Our great example. Appetite says, be sensuous, enjoy yourself. Education says, be resourceful, expand yourself. Materialism says, be satisfied, please yourself. Psychology says, be confident, fulfill yourself. Pride says, be superior, promote yourself. Humanism says, be capable, believe in yourself. God says, be wise and humble yourself. That's what we need in our relationships. More humility. We all know what pride does, don't we? We won't take a personal time to raise our hands tonight, but we could all tell about how pride in our life has affected a relationship. Only by pride cometh what? Contention. It's really an amazing verse of Scripture, Proverbs 13:10. It's kind of the opposite of what we were just saying a minute ago. If you have two humble people, that means you have two people that are empty of pride. But that's the only way contention can come into a church. Ever think about that? Contention does come into churches. Satan wants to divide any church that is going ahead with the gospel, that is fearing God, keeping His commandments, trying to witness to people, trying to do the right thing and live by the book. Satan wants to bring division. He's doing it now. He's always done it. He's not going to stop doing it. But how does he do it? Pride. Only by pride comes contention. Proverbs 13:10. What is contention? A quarrel, a conflict, arguing. Many relationships would be transformed if this one issue were dealt with. Refuse to act in pride and instead say, by the grace of God, we're going to have a humble home. Humility. So, four behaviors. Number one, generosity. May God help us this week to find someone that we can express generosity to. By the way, I think if you pray that, and I pray that, I think God will answer that prayer. He'll send us to someone that needs it. Hospitality. How can we be hospitable to someone this week? Empathy. Who in my life do we need to think about what they're going through? How can we help them? How do they feel about it? Maybe it's even within our own home. And then humility. Next week, God willing, we'll look at the third point, and we'll tell you that next week. But let's be behaving believers this week by the grace of God.